Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my good friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show. Tom, are you all ready? Are all of the, you have all of the buttons pushed that should be pushed and everything?
And the sliders slid.
Yeah, and you've got...
We don't use knobs anymore. We use sliders.
So all the buttons are pointed in the right direction. All right, we're ready to do this. It is our Friday, April 1st, 2016. It's the Buckmaster Show. Big shout out to our media partners. I like to do this especially on Friday. TucsonSentinel.com, thank you. Inside Tucson Business, a supporter of our work. The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, whose editor is seated to my right, Dan Shear. Dan, thanks so much for all you do with the two papers promoting our program here.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
And TucsonLifestyle.com, thank you for your support. And Emil Franzi's publication, online publication, Southern Arizona News Examiner, our Friday Focus interview. Lots to talk about with the sheriff of Pima County today. Chris Nanos is with us. Mr. Nanos, a Democrat. He was appointed sheriff by the Pima County Board of Supervisors last year when longtime sheriff Clarence Dupnik retired from law enforcement. Sheriff Dupnik made that announcement right here on the Buckmaster Show. I believe he made that in January of 2015 and then stepped aside about 6 months later, something yes. like that, Sheriff Eight. Nanos. Last week on the program, Republican Mark Napier, who ran against Sheriff Dupnik 4 years ago and lost by 4 percentage points, announced that he is running again for Sheriff, and we do welcome now Sheriff Chris Nanos to the program. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, are you ready to make a formal announcement about seeking re-election?
I absolutely am, and I'm honored to be on your show to do that. Officially today, we are opening our campaign. We have our website open, so you can go there. It's Sheriff Nanos. 2016.com, so SheriffNanos2016.com, and I would like to say officially today I am running for the office of Sheriff of Pima County.
You are a candidate as of officially today.
That is correct.
What is the bottom line with this candidacy? Why should people elect you?
Wow. There's a number of reasons, but it's really because of what I've done in the last 2.5 years. I was appointed chief deputy. I think on your show you had me on.
Yes.
In January 14.
I think we had you on right after that
right.
appointment. Yeah.
And I was given the reins of the entire department. And I think that if you look at what this agency has done since that time forward, we've done a number of things. Even for the short term of my actually being appointed sheriff. We've done a number of things in this community. More importantly, I've done a number of things in this community, and I will continue to do a number of things in this community, and we can get into specifics. I want to do that.
Yes. Here's Dan Shear. Let's bring Dan in right away.
Yeah, Sheriff, you have said that we're talking about deputy pay here. You have said that you have some 10-year veterans who are making the same amount as a brand-new deputy. How is that accurate, and how can that be?
Well, what happens is it's called compression, and I'm presenting a decompression package to the board, but what happens is, say 2006, 10 years back, you were hired as a deputy. You go for 10 years without any pay increase, yet today we hire a new deputy. You've got 10 years on, the new deputy's got brand new on, and you're about the same pay raise. In fact, we may have you train that deputy at the same pay rate. So that's where we got the compression, and we're trying to work with the Board of Supervisors. I have a plan and a proposal that I'll be talking to the Board of Supervisors with about how to present this package. See, Mr. Huckleberry came out against a pay package that was $17 million. That was the association's pay package. That pay package asked anywhere from 22 to 52% pay raise. That's when I told the association labor leader that I would not support that. That's ludicrous. You can't be – that just doesn't make sense in today's world. However, for the last 2 years, we have all been there together, all the labor groups and myself, and sat with everybody. I sat with a bunch of corrections officers last night. The main goal has been to always be, let's get the decompression fixed. Let's get people into the right pay scales they should be, and then we can worry about pay raises another day.
How's this affecting morale?
I think, you know, any time you deal with pay, it does impact morale. But I think that everybody understands and gets that these are tough times. You just look across at our partners at the city. They're $25 million in the hole, and we understand that. And we're actually going to work with Chief Magnus, and you know, we've got some ideas myself. I've met with Magnus on a number of times. He's a good man, heart's in the right place. And we're going to be working together to try to help their budget out as well and reduce some of the duplicity in law enforcement, because his constituents, his taxpayers, his citizens are mine as well. People cross the city-county line every day, and nobody knows it. We've got 1 million people in this area. We both need to be working together.
I'd like to bring up these allegations that Mr. Napier brought up. There are three prominent ones. Now, quickly summarize them for our listeners and Sheriff. One, FBI investigation of alleged misuse of county funds in operation of a small cafe operated at the Sheriff's Department. A deputy who used a county email to send out what Mr. Napier said is a hit piece on him, and an incident in which you, Sheriff, allegedly, quote, assaulted, unquote, a sergeant with the sheriff's office who's also head of the deputies union. What can you say generally about this?
Okay, so let me start with, just as your order was, the
FBI investigation.
That was simply a matter of the FBI. The director here is Mr. Black, good man. We work together. I wanted a criminal investigation. He wanted it to keep it at a lower level preliminary investigation. The concern there is that with a preliminary investigation, they get a year to do that. 6 months, and you can get an extension, and it's another year. If you're going to investigate the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and let me clear this up, he has assured me Chris Nanos is not any part of this investigation. It is the department, but it's my department, and I have the obligation to defend my department. And when I asked Mr. Black to not do this because it's going to take a year, I want a criminal investigation, a full-blown criminal investigation that has to go to D.C. for blessing. And I asked that. That was on a Friday after they had already leaked it to the media. I didn't go to the media. The media came to me. After that happened, I demanded a full-blown investigation. On the following Monday, President's Day, I heard from the Arizona director of the FBI out of L.A. called me and said, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do it as quickly as we can and as competent and full-blown investigation. That we have been totally cooperating with them. We have given them all kinds of information on this. I think it's going to end up nowhere, but we know the bureaucracy with our federal government.
All right.
And so that's
item
that
two,
is.
The deputy who used the county email on this hit.
You know, that, first of all, I have nothing to do with that. That is simply a matter of a county policy. The law that they refer to as a violation is so obscure. It is basically a civil offense, which is nothing more than a traffic ticket. I don't even believe the intent was to influence anybody in any election. But the issue is simply this. That investigation is being handled outside my department. It is being turned over to the Attorney General's office to deal with, and they'll find whatever they find there.
Now, did you assault a sergeant?
No, absolutely not. This is nothing more than political fodder, I think you would call it. This young man is a sergeant of mine. I hope someday we will come to grips with all of this. He's deeply invested in himself into this labor pay package issue, and for whatever reason, I don't know. That's being handled by Tucson Police, and they'll take it to wherever, and I hope someday soon we'll hear that too is a non-issue.
Dan Scheer.
Yeah, briefly back to the FBI investigation. Really, the bottom line question regarding this cafe that was in operation is, where did the money come from to operate it? Was it RICO funds? Was it general fund?
That was answered in the article back in September, October by Caitlin Schmidt. The FBI had that information. That money was, we had a brand new captain who says he thought it was RICO. We bring out the receipts. The receipts are clear. They're there. It says general fund. Period.
So is this your Benghazi? It's going to just keep coming up despite,
It does, but that's okay. You know, these things will take care of themselves. I'm not concerned about them. I've got a big job to do, and I've got a lot to do, so I can't really get mired down in that stuff. those things are being handled, and they'll be handled appropriately.
And Bill, I have to jump in here just as a news guy that the sending out of the email, this was a TV story kind of run amok. It's like packing 15 seconds of story into 3 minutes, as TV does a lot. And it was exactly as Sheriff Nanos is saying here. It was a very minor violation. It was someone who just frankly just made a mistake and owned up to it, and we move on. It is not nearly as big as TV news would like you to believe.
And I assume in this campaign you'd rather talk about what you believe to be the more
let me say this,
substantive,
because I really don't want to get into into mudslinging or anything, right. But I about a week or so ago, I reached out to Mr. Napier when I heard he was running for office, and somebody had put in front of me an interview he had on one of the radio stations, and some of the remarks were just a little mean-spirited. And so I thought, you know, I've heard that this guy's a good man. I've never really met him. And I thought, you know, he's a cop. He's worn a badge. He's got to be a good guy. So he's worn a badge 28 years. I've worn it for 40-plus years. I put it out, and I never heard back. I show up on a show here on your station, and in 5 minutes of that show, he does call me. So thank you. So we set up a meeting. I was a little disappointed, though, because at that meeting, I was hoping to be able to talk to him. I was hoping that maybe if he knew me and I knew him, we could see that, hey, we both have, although we're different, we have the same interests at heart, I think. As it turns out, from that meeting, I walked away a little disappointed. I thought I was... I dealt with a man who I felt just didn't have a lot of humility and had a lot of arrogance, and I was deeply disappointed because I wanted us to talk about issues. How can he make my department better or this community safer, and how can I do it and give the people out there some real substance? Instead, he wants to sling mud. So I'm not going to go there. Okay. We're going to be done with that. I will say this. He is, to me, a politician. He is campaigning. He's 4 years ago, he disappeared. And the only thing he did in those 4 years was apply for every police chief job in the valley. He applied for his own agency at Tucson Police Department. They turned him down. He applied for the University of Arizona, where he currently works, police department. They turned him down. He applied for the Pima College, a 25-person department, a small agency, and they didn't even select anybody. They just told him he wasn't qualified. Here's a man with his, and he'll tell you that he has his online master's, but he's been out of this for 10 years. Out of law enforcement for almost a decade, and yet he has nothing fresh, no new ideas. He just says that he's going to be he'll improve law enforcement by focusing on public safety.
All right.
To me, there's no substance there.
All right. We're going to have to take a break right here. It is our first break of the Monday, almost said the Monday political face-off. No, that's coming up in a few days. Our Friday focus interview with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos with us. We're going to take our break right here. Our Rock and Roll Friday bump music today. Let's see who Tom has come up with. I think we've got Seals and Croft. Go ahead. The Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off with commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Also, former United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham with his monthly look at foreign affairs and the military. All happening Monday on Buckmaster on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our archive at buckmastershow.com.
And the hummingbird is a unique bird because it's the only bird in the world that can fly backwards. One, two, three.
Oh, hummingbird.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we do a little rock and roll bumper music. Today, we're focusing on Seals and Croft. Wonderful song, Hummingbird. Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, in our Friday Focus interview with the sheriff of Pima County, Chris Nanos, who at the top of the program, in case you're just tuning in, officially announced that he is now going to be seeking a four-year term as sheriff of Pima County. Dan, go ahead.
First of all, I hope you don't get tired of hearing that. Lieutenant Jeff Palmer down at the Green Valley Substation is doing a terrific job for us down there.
I never get tired of hearing that.
I'll tell you, he is great for Green Valley. We know one day he'll move on to another assignment, but he's been terrific for us. A lot of people don't even realize that Aravaca, which is roughly 30, 40 miles from Green Valley, is even part of Pima County, which means that you have to cover it. It's way out in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes these people feel forgotten. Sometimes, in fact, often Border Patrol is the first responder out there because it's so far down this winding road off of I-19. How do you handle a challenge like Aravaca and make sure that they don't feel like they're forgotten?
Well, we do work with other agencies to assist when we need to, and here's a perfect example. Aravaca is not much different than what we have in Ajo, where we have a small contingency of a law enforcement agency. You got to remember, we're 9,300 square miles. You can fit Delaware, Maryland, Rhode Island, and District of Columbia in our county. 126 miles of that southern border is along with Mexico, the longest linear border of any county with Mexico. Aravaca and Lukeville are the two areas that we have, and Sasebo are those areas that are right on the border. We work closely with Border Patrol in a number of ways, not just through Operation Stone Garden, where they provide some grant funding, but also just being in that area with them. Our Green Valley station is the station that services the Aravaca area, but typically we're down there quite a bit with other teams from the Three Points or Robles Junction area that run down that way.
Is it a policy that you would not send a single person with a single vehicle down there to cover something that you would have to do it in pairs, which means that it's certainly a strain on resources if there's a call down in Aravaca?
No, here's what the policy is. And it's really not so much a policy as it is a practice. It's called officer safety. If I have to have a backup and it takes me 30 minutes from I-10 to get to Aravaca, well, if I need a backup, that's a pretty rough area. I should have that backup pretty quickly. So the smart thing to do is send two if you've got to send anybody. And if you don't have two and we still got to send somebody, we send them. If it's an urgency, we don't care. You're going, whether it's one or 21.
How are we doing on response times?
That's 3.98 seconds. 3.98 minutes, I'm sorry.
Boy, I wish it was. Priority. We all
yeah,
wish
I know.
It was seconds.
But 3.98, those just came out from last year. That's okay. Our average for Part 1 crimes.
Mm-hmm. And for those of us like myself that live in the foothills, so the response time for our area is pretty good, you would say?
I think it's good anywhere, mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. We had a Facebook question about the scanners, new scanners at the jail.
Yeah.
Are they a danger to anybody?
No. Here's what happened with those
kind
scanners.
Kind of summarize that.
We went through a House bill last year trying to promote the scanners because we think it's a good – we got some grant funding for them to – remember, we have a housing unit that allows those inmates out of custody on their own, and then they come back into the facility. If you don't have a way to really search them, typically our narcotic problem at the jail is from that area, that complex. We put these scanners in there to allow us the opportunity to check them. They are no different. In fact, they're probably lower than what you have when you walk through the airport scanners. And we had to get the law draft a bill that would allow it because the law was written so long ago, back in the 50s or 60s, and it dealt with medical X-ray technology.
And radiation.
And radiation, medical. All that. We've gotten way past that. We upgraded the law, and so, yes, we'll see those scanners in there.
You were quite vocal a couple of months ago when the governor proposed this border strike force. You really didn't like the idea. Yeah. Was your opposition about money, turf, influence, or is it just not
so
needed?
Yeah, so let me – thank you. All of that. But it really is simply this. It wasn't my opposition, although I oppose it. It was four border sheriffs. This isn't a partisan issue. You have Mark Daniels, a Republican, and Leon Willman, a Republican, and Tony Estrada, a Democrat, myself, Democrat. All four border sheriffs, of which, by the way, I was appointed to be on the Alliance to Combat Transnational Threats by the four border sheriffs, representing those four border sheriffs. But this wasn't just the four border sheriffs. This was every sheriff in the state. The Arizona Sheriff's Association told DPS, Governor Ducey, hey, you just have to read the letter. We really appreciate you wanting to come down here and support us and our efforts. But we have some issues, and those issues were simply three things. DPS is by statute to provide three specific job functions, and we felt they were failing in all three of those. One, be in every county. They weren't in every county. Two, work after 10 p.m. They weren't working after 10 p.m. They went home. So you left these small – I don't need their assistance because I've got a large agency. But you have a small county that has an accident at 11 p.m., it could tie them up. And more importantly, a lab service. They were to provide a state lab that is so far behind. Now, let me say this. Because I've met with Governor Ducey and Mr. Milstead, the director, a number of times. And we are working very well together. My opponent will tell you we're not, oh, my goodness, Chris Adams is again. That's not the case at all. What they're trying to put together wasn't a task force to be on the border. It was a narcotic task force. That's what they have. I am a member. My agency provides two bodies to every federal agency out here on narcotic human smuggling traffic. I have 10 task forces. Why do I need an 11th? Mark Daniels in Cochise County, his needs are different than Chris Nanos's or Tony Estrada's or Leon Wilmot. And it's all because every county, who knows better of the crime in that county? Someone from Phoenix or someone from the border that's on that county? We were simply telling the governor, Governor, you have taken money from the counties, $494 million, half a billion dollars in the last 5 years the state has taken of HERF dollars, $78 million last year, another $74 million this year. This is, again, all sheriffs have told the governor, we need our HERF dollars back, Governor. He has taken that money and given it to DPS. The governor is listening to us. That's the most positive I can say is he has actually sat with us, talked to us, listened to us, and I think I still have faith that he's going to come through for us. I really do. As far as border issues and that, it's simply this. I know Mark said we need a county sheriff who understands the border. I've lived on this border for 60 years. I never lived in Iowa or wherever it is he's from. I'll say this simply. Border Patrol has, and I've said it 1,000 times, I say it every day, they're good men and women, but they have 41,000 people on this border, Border Patrol and Customs, not on this border, in this country, 41,000. That border is 1,936 miles long across the country. We have a 395-mile border, and there's 4,000 Border Patrol agents here in Pima County. We have a budget of $150 million. Border Patrol has a $44 billion budget. Why do they need my assistance? I think they have enough. Now, that's not to say we won't work with Border Patrol and the system. We do. We work with them on Stone Garden. We work with them anytime they need assistance. We help them all the time. They help us. The men and women on the street, no matter what agents you are, they don't see green or brown or tan or blue. They see a badge. And it's at the top level where you have a little conflict, if you will, or a little disagreement. And it's more that it's not so much that we can't work together. It's about maybe we should put some new ideas out there. We've done this for years the same way, and we get the same results. How about some new ideas?
All right. We're a little bit over time here. And again, Sheriff Chris Nanos announcing that he will be running for a four-year term. And earlier, one of my faithful listeners corrected me. I said you were running for re-election. No, you will be running for your first four-year term. So I tell you, my listeners are my best editors.
Okay. well, we're playing semantics, I'm sure.
There
but,
you go.
But I understand that. Yeah. I am the sitting sheriff, and so I would like to be elected again.
There you go. Thank you very much, Sheriff Nanos, for being with us.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. All right, Dan. You will stick around.
Will do.
And Sarah Garrett Gasson joins us from the Star, and we'll have our Friday roundtable after we hear some more Seals and Croft. It's Summer Breeze, one of their big hits, of course. It's Rock and Roll Friday on Buckmaster.
See the curtains hanging in the window. In the evening on a Friday night, little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Life, so they say, is but a game, and they let it slip away. Love, like the autumn sun, should be dying, but it's only just begun.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. Seals and Croft, our Friday rock and roll music. Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Aren't you glad I selected Seals and Croft?
They are very soothing.
They are. And some would say, well, Bill, this is supposed to be rock and roll Friday. Well, what's wrong with a little soft rock every so often?
Can anyone argue with that?
No. Sarah Gartgassen, columnist. Her work appears Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star, and her editorials, she's part of the editorial board of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah's with us, and Dan Scheer with us from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And Dan, wow, the sheriff making his official announcement.
Right. Not too surprising, but he made it official here. Mm-hmm. And I guess the best thing you can say about somebody in office is that they know their stuff, and he obviously does.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting campaign, to say the least.
Yes.
I want to begin with this Goldwater Institute demanding that Pima County cancel what the folks up at Goldwater believe is an illegal contract with World View Enterprises. Tim Steller, our friend Tim, mm-hmm. at the Arizona Daily Star, talked a little bit about this in his column today. Tim saying that he had the quote from Mr. Huckleberry that county staff did take great care, according to Mr. Huckleberry, to comply with all state laws in its negotiation of the economic incentive agreement with World View.
Of course, and of course he's, you know, that's what he would say, because that's, I'm sure, what happened.
Because presumably this was legally vetted by the county's attorneys.
That is my understanding of how the procedure works. But, yeah, the Goldwater Institute has a long history of sending letters and filing some lawsuits when they think municipalities or government agencies overstep and run into the gift clause, where it's illegal for a government entity to basically favor someone with a loan or a gift of taxpayer property or money. And so that's what they've won some, they've lost some, but that's what is at work here. It's part of, you know, what they operate.
But the Goldwater Institute does not have a history of being frivolous, sending these letters off quickly like some groups do. And so I think there was some thought behind it. It's interesting that they're digging in their heels, so is the county. There are a couple of interesting ways to look at it, but I can see both sides, you know, the whole sweetheart deal type of thing. And it was slammed through pretty quickly. There was a lot of unanswered questions. There was a lot of back and forth after that meeting where they okayed this project out in the hallways, where a lot of people were getting, you know, pretty upset that there was a lot of things that simply weren't disclosed, including basically a mm-hmm. business plan from World View. So I think a lot of people felt like the county was on their side and they were going to get it through no matter what. But we'll see. If I had to guess at this one, I would say the county did due diligence and it's not going to be an issue.
Hmm. Right. And it's the kind of thing that, not a lot of people think this is a bad deal for the county anyway. And there are just certain ideological, you kind of come down to people saying that, you know, the government is bad for business, it's too limiting, it's too many regulations. And then when government tries to, at least the county in this case, tries to come up with an incentive package, there's folks who will say, you've gone too far, you're doing that improperly, taxpayer money shouldn't be.
And one of those who's been championing that is Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller, who will have a challenger. She's going to be primaried, a gentleman, young guy from who works at the University of Arizona, John Winchester.
Yes.
Was on our program Wednesday and said that definitely he had just come from filing his papers, and he is going to be running against Allie Miller. And a couple of callers said, well, what about, do you live in the district? And he said, yes. And then another caller said, well, for how long? And he said, a week. And why are you running? Well, he's running specifically to target Allie Miller.
Yeah, and hey, David Gowan doesn't even live in the congressional district he's running in, so apparently it doesn't matter. But what he's banking on is that the district is not as solidly behind Allie Miller as we've perhaps been led to believe, or maybe she is saying. So that's what he's, or that people are just kind of tired of all the back and forth here. And some people, you know, everybody seems to have an opinion on her, you know, like her or not. What matters is what her district thinks, and he's betting that they're going to back him.
Is dog racing, Dan Scheer, does it look like this is kind of the end for the Greyhound track, at which has been around forever? I think it goes back to the 40s, may even go back longer than that.
And you know, they had
South Tucson.
Sure, and they had a track down in Amado for a long time that closed, I think, 30 years ago. And so there, is it over? It looks like it certainly is headed that way. And having gone to the dog races as a kid more than a few times with our babysitter, long story, I tell you, there is a certain thrill there, but there's also... I think people have moved on to other things. And it doesn't even look like, Bill, that the industry is really fighting this at all. So it's going to go away.
Well, that's quite a bit of land, as I recall, the acreage down there. So it's going to be very interesting to see if South Tucson, what they can do. This could potentially be, you would think, a moneymaker for them if they could develop that land.
Well, yeah, it is a big piece of land. I don't know how big offhand, but it's a big chunk of real estate in an area that has a lot of restaurants and homes, and who knows what could go in.
A lot of people are not sad to see dog racing go away. For the animal welfare advocates, I'd consider myself one of them.
Absolutely.
It was kind of win one, lose one at the legislature. The legislature did go ahead and allow pet stores to be able to sell animals from commercial breeders. This was fought really strongly up at the legislature by many who feel that is not a good practice, Sarah.
Right. And like everything, there are people who are responsible breeders and people who most definitely are not. And I know many, many people think you should just only adopt a rescue animal. So, but what the bill does is it relies on the reports from the FDA that are supposed to inspect these facilities. But the problem is, and we had a guest opinion piece about this from someone in the Arizona Daily Star about from someone who's part of the Harvard Animal Law Program, explaining that the FDA, the reports that it's all based on are pretty much meaningless because they don't, all you need to show is that the animal is alive, has a shelter and food and water, and that there are just horrible abuses that go unreported, and that the safeguard is not a safeguard at all.
Dan, getting back to Pima County, Mr. Huckleberry took an initiative today, or actually this week. He put out a memo saying the claims, quite simply, are not true, that Pima County does not spend its HERF, that's the Highway User Revenue Fund, or VLT, the Vehicle License Tax, for transportation purposes.
Yeah, and I'd like to find out how much time he spends each week answering some of these allegations that really are not grounded in truth. And so he did an extensive memo here, and he talked about Pima County, and he talked about dollars, and he talked about what the need is. And really the bottom line is, yes, we know the roads are really bad, and what are we going to do about it? But there doesn't seem to be a lot of helpful suggestions coming his way, and I think he's very open to it. Instead, he's getting this thrown at him, and it simply was not, it was not accurate. That's why he did the memo.
Right, and that's part of, we were talking about Supervisor Allie Miller, and that's part of what she's been saying, that you can, the Pima County could fix the roads if they really wanted to without any sort of property tax or any sort of tax increase, and that's just not true. And so, but Dan, you make a really good point. How much time does the county government have to spend to refute things that are just not true, that are said by people who should be in a position to should be responsible enough to just state the truth.
And Bill, I talked a couple weeks ago with Marla Clausen, who's running for Ray Carroll's seat, and she is a Republican, staunch Republican, and even she said, you know what, we may have to consider a tax increase to fix these roads. She flat out said we might have to consider this. Now, this is probably going to make her very unpopular among Republicans, and she knows it, but she's just being honest. She has assessed the problem. She thinks that there's a lot of money being spent on projects projects that simply we don't need to be spending on in Pima County, but she knows that we're in an overwhelming position and said, yep, might be something we're going to have to consider. That might cost her, quite frankly, among Republicans, but it's an honest assessment, and I appreciate that.
Have you printed that in the paper yet, that interview?
Yes, we did. We just printed it, I believe it was Wednesday.
That should raise a few eyebrows.
Yes, it should. But I mean, the idea that it would be that it goes too far to say we might have to even consider that. I mean, she's hardly endorsing the idea. It's we may have to just talk about it. I think that's a sign of the times that we're in, where people just get in their lane and they stick to what they are supposed to be saying.
But definitely baby steps toward really what might be the obvious solution. And
right.
So again, you have to appreciate that she's up against two other opponents, formidable opponents, and she was willing to say that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm saying that's really good, and I appreciate that as well.
Thought about Donald Trump.
Just,
do we have
just
to
one?
Really go there? Right. But it's going to become, and already has with many of the congressional races, a litmus test about for the candidates, would you support Donald Trump?
Right. I think, and I am not, I am not a Republican, but I do think that it's really important that people, especially in the Republican Party, be vocal and honest about if, you know, you can criticize Donald Trump in the primary and say you don't want him to be the nominee and try to fight him being the nominee. But
would you vote for him?
Right.
Yeah,
but when it comes down to it, is it for the good of the country or the progress for your party? Is party more important, or is having someone who's not Donald Trump and not dangerous in the way that he is in the White House more important? And I think that really comes down to it, because you can complain all you want, but if you're just going to line up behind a man like that and vote for him because he has an R next to his name, that's just hard to even imagine.
And I know you interviewed Senator McCain.
Right, he was in Green Valley.
And he has said that he would support if he's the nominee.
This was not enthusiastic, no. Of course.
Of course not.
And he just said, you know, he said, I used to be angry about the political discourse going on in the country. Now I'm just sad. And he has used that quote before. But I think for a lot of Republican voters, though, it's going to come down to the lesser of two evils, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. And I think that Trump is going to win out for a lot of them, because As screwed up as Donald Trump is, and we flat out have said that in the paper, a lot of people think that Hillary Clinton is just simply a dishonest person. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very hard to vote for her.
I could go on for hours about that.
But then there is also those that will not even vote.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
They will stay away. Perhaps they're very adamant about Donald Trump. And if he doesn't become the nominee, wow, who knows what's going to happen. They may not want anything to do with the process. And same could be said, and I'm out of time, but same could be said on the very passionate supporters for Bernie that are feeling the burn and don't want, if he doesn't get it, they're out.
They're out.
Yeah, they're
right.
out. So,
yeah, I think the stakes are so high that whatever is necessary to keep Donald Trump out of the White House is what people should be thinking about.
All right. That's Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. We'll look for the Star. Did you write the editorial for Sunday or no?
No, I did not.
Okay. I was going to try to give you a little plug there.
Well, thank you.
But look at
it
anyway.
But I had a column in the paper yesterday about a great program at our place, Clubhouse.
The Clubhouse?
It's called Our Place.
Our
Place Clubhouse, and it's for people who've been diagnosed with severe mental illness. And they have a writing program, and it's awesome, and they have an event coming up on April 9th.
Thank you very much. Dan, thank you very much for your support.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back. Dan Gibson will be doing our weekend watch. Matt is off today.
Tonight while the lights are shining and the microphone is on, I'll play for you. So many will be the blessings, and so short will be the time I'll stay with you.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Weekend Watch. Usually it's Matt Russell. Matt's off this weekend, so we've got Visit Tucson Dan Gibson with us. We'll be with Dan in a moment, but first I want to tell you that this Weekend Watch is brought to you by a great place to go on the weekend, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, a great place to recreate over the weekend, great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Little Toad Creek Inn. The full listing of the many places, fine places to stay, and the many, many things to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, available at southwestnewmexico.org. Here is Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. No shortage of things to do. What are your top three picks for the weekend?
Well, you know, I mean, I'll leave the street fair out of it. I think most people know about the street fair. It's a great opportunity. Park downtown, take the light rail, you can get there easy. So let's move on to some other things.
Uh-huh. What else?
Mocktoberfest. That is April 2nd. It's the Mercado St. Augustine from 4 p.m. to midnight. It's $5. And it's for all ages until about 9 or 10 or so, and then discretion is more advisable. It is a fundraiser for Many Mouths, One Stomach. They're the creators of the All Souls Procession. So if you love the All Souls Procession, this is a great opportunity to support it. Music, acrobats, dance, magic, circus acts, food, beer, more. Just a great opportunity, great event. If you love the All Souls, you'll love what they're doing at Mocktoberfest. You can learn more about that at mocktoberfest.com.
October in April. Love it. Go ahead.
Why not? It's all the same. Tonight, late notice, but just to let you know, Wine Gone Wild at Reed Park Zoo. They're trying to build a new health center for their animals. We all want healthy animals, of course. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 8:30 p.m., wineries, distilleries, distributors, both local and national, the music of flamenco group Tesoro. It's a little pricey, but you know they're trying to raise some money. $70 for general admission, $60 if you're a member of the zoo. If you're a designated driver, only $25, although you're missing out a little bit.
We love the zoo. We love the zoo. All right. And your third pick?
Number three, Tucson Museum of Art. Tomorrow at 2 p.m., the Ai Weiwei exhibit is there, and it's great. Ai Weiwei is really one of the most relevant and interesting artists working today. They have an exhibit of his expression of the Chinese zodiac. Dr. Janet Baker, she's a curator of Asian art at the Phoenix Art Museum. She'll be speaking tomorrow at 2 p.m., in the Tucson Museum of Art lobby. It's free with museum admission. You can learn about his perspective, about his history, and how the work that they're showing there fits into it. Then you can go back to the museum and seem really smart in front of your friends, which is really a highlight for me. You just talk about the cultural depth of what he was doing and that it's a reflection on appropriation. All you can sound really smart, which is helpful to anybody.
Dan Gibson, have a great weekend. Thanks,
you
Dan.
You too.
All right. We have so much talk here, of course, local talk during the week, but then on the weekends, lots of local talk. Got a new show on KVOI, Brushfires of Freedom with Sean Hoffnein. That's Sunday afternoon, 4 to 5, between The Garden Show and The Visit, so check that out. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of the entire team here at KVOI, including my fine producer, engineer today on Friday, Tom Fairbanks, of course, Ray Allen during the week, the whole gang here at KVOI, and Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a safe and wonderful weekend.